Up next is Petals and Prose with journalist and beekeeper Nancy Williams.
Good morning. It's Nancy Williams for Petals and Prose. I'm going to read to you today from one of my favorite books, which you're reading through with me, by Sue Hubbell, called A Country Year. And this is a little piece that she has about honeybee communication and other things, as always. Anyone who has kept bees is a pushover for a swarm of them. We always drop whatever we're doing and go off to pick one up when asked to do so. It doesn't make sense, really, because from a standpoint of serious beekeeping and honey production, a swarm isn't much good. Swarms are headed up by old queens with not much vitality or egg-laying potential left, and so a beekeeper should replace her with a new queen from a queen breeder. He will probably have to feed and coddle the swarm through its first year, and it will seldom produce any extra honey the first season. And yet, we always hive them. There is something really odd about swarms, and I notice that beekeepers don't talk about it much, probably because it's the sort of thing we don't feel comfortable about trying to put into words, something the other side of rationality. The second year I kept bees, I picked up my first swarm. I was in the middle of the spring bee work, putting in 10 to 12 hours a day, and very attuned to what the bees were doing out there in their hives. That day had begun with heavy rainstorms, and so rather than working out in the bee yards, I was in the honey house, making new equipment. By afternoon, the rain had stopped, but the air was warm and heavy, charged and expectant. I began to feel odd, tense and anticipatory, and when the back of my neck began to prickle, I decided to take a walk out to the new hives I'd started. Near them, hanging pendulously from the branch of an apple tree, was a swarm of bees. Individual bees were still flying in from all directions, adding their numbers to those clinging around their queen. In the springtime, some colonies of bees, for reason not well understood, obey an impulse to split in two and thus multiply by swarming. The worker bees thoughtfully raise a new queen bee for the parent colony, and then a portion of the bees gather with the old queen, gorge themselves with honey, and fly out of the hive, never to return, leaving all memory of their old house behind. They cluster somewhere temporarily, such as on the branch of my apple tree. If a beekeeper doesn't go hive them, scout bees fly from the cluster and investigate nearby holes and spaces and report back to the cluster on the suitability of the new quarters. We know about two forms of honeybee communication. One is chemical information about food sources and the well-being of the queen and the colony is exchanged as bees continually feed one another with droplets of nectar, which they've begun to process and chemically tag. The other form of communication is tactile. Bees tell other bees about good things, such as food or the location of a new home, by patterned motions. This is also, by the way, known as the waggle dance. Technical term, honest. These elaborate movements, which amount to a highly stylized map of landmarks, directions, and the sun's position, are called the bee dance. Different scout bees may find different locations for the swarm and return to dance about their finds. Eventually, sometimes after several days, an agreement is reached, rather like the arrival of the sense of the meeting among Quakers, and all the bees in the cluster fly off to their new home. I watched the bees on my apple tree for a while with delight and pleasure, and then returned to the barn to gather up enough equipment to hive them. As I did so, I glanced up at the sky. It was still dark from the receding thunderstorm, but a perfect and dazzling rainbow arched shimmering against the deep blue sky, its curve making a stunning and pleasing contrast with the sharp inverted V of the barn roof. I returned to the apple tree and shook the bees into their new beehive, noticing that I was singing snatches of one of Handel's coronation anthems. It seemed as appropriate music to hive a swarm as any I know. Since then, I've learned to pay attention in the springtime when the air feels electric and full of excitement. It was just so one day last week. I had been working quietly along the row of 12 hives in an outyard when the hair on the back of my neck began to stand up on end. I looked up to see the air thick with bees flying in toward me from the north. The swarm was not from any of my hives, but for some reason bees often cluster near existing hives while they scout for a new location. I closed up the hive I was working on and stood back to watch. I was nearer a slender post oak sapling, and the bees began to light on one of its lower limbs right next to my elbow. They came flying in, swirling as they descended, spiraling around me and the post oak until I was enveloped by the swarm, the air moving gently from the beat of their wings. I'm not sure how long I stood there. I lost all sense of time and felt only elation, a kind of human emotional counterpart of the spring-like, optimistic, burgeoning state that the bees were in. I stood quietly. I was nothing more to the bees than an object to be encircled on their way to the spot where they had decided, in a way I couldn't know, to cluster. In another sense, I was not remote from them at all, but was receiving all sorts of meaningful messages in the strongest way imaginable, outside of human mental process and language. My skin was tingling as the bees brushed past, and I felt almost a part of the swarm. Eventually, the bees settled down in the cluster. Regaining a more suitable sense of my human condition and responsibilities, I went over to my pickup and got the empty hive that I always carry with me during swarming season. I propped it up so that its entrance was just under the swarm. A frame of comb from another hive was inside, and the bees in the cluster could smell it, so they began to walk up into the entrance. I watched, looking for the queen, for without her the swarm would die. It took perhaps 20 minutes for all of them to file in, and the queen, a long, elegant bee, was one of the last to enter. I screened up the entrance and put the hive in the back of the pickup. After I was finished with my work with the other hives in the bee yard, I drove back home with my new swarm. I should have ordered a new queen bee, killed the old one, and replaced her. But in doing that, I would have destroyed the identity of the swarm. Every colony of bees takes its essence, character, and personality from the queen, who is mother to all of its members. As a commercial beekeeper, it was certainly my business to kill the old queen and replace her with a vigorous new one so that the colony would become a good honey producer. But I did not. Thanks for listening. This is Nancy Williams. Bye-bye.
Journalist and beekeeper Nancy Williams lives in Providence.